Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts. Station.
Showtime.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Here we go.
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
My parents, there were times I was convinced they'd forgotten my name. Oh, my goodness. That's A-level stuff. I'll do an arena show. The first arena that calls me to do a show, I'm in.
You can do this. But to be more accurate, you probably can't.
Jeff Lutz.
Okay, well, you don't be staying up late waiting for that call, please. What dimension are you living in right now?
Hoo-ah! 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It's an excursion into the odd and into the very, very different.
Stand by for action.
Good afternoon again, everyone. It's a Monday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, your co-host. Max Power, producing engineering, 869-1240. That is our high hop hotline. Fresh from a week of mixed-up football. We've been picking games a long time. We've never been this poor at it. It must mean that the games are more difficult than ever.
I don't know what it means. It just means we're not as good at it this year. Could mean anything.
What if it means something else? What if it means
we're just not very good at it?
What if it means I'm losing my my abilities?
I don't think you ever had abilities.
But what if it means that?
I'm sure you'll probably figure out a way to get over it, but that's, I don't know. I don't know that yesterday was that mixed up. A lot of the favorites won. Some of the results, like Detroit getting like under 100 passing yards or something and scoring 52 points, the Patriots beating the Jets, some of those, Jameis Winston coming back and guiding a moribund Browns offense into relevance, perhaps. Some of that's fairly interesting, but...
Well, we didn't think Baltimore was going to lose.
No, not really.
When you say it's not very jumbled up, I feel like it was really jumbled up.
Outside of that result...
Well, I'll give you another jumble. Did you expect the Eagles to blow away Cincinnati on the road?
I don't know. Cincinnati's
But did
been,
you expect it?
I don't know if that I expected it, but Cincinnati's been terrible, and their defense is terrible.
Did you think the Cardinals would win at Miami?
Who cares?
Did you expect the Patriots to come back and beat the Jets?
They're both 2-6.
But there's no way you could have expected it.
They're both 2-6. They are both bad.
No, there's no way.
There's no result yesterday. Outside of Browns Ravens, it really made you scratch your head.
Well, I don't know about that. Why didn't I do better?
Overthinking it, probably.
Las Vegas threw a wrench into the proceedings.
We should have known. KU doesn't win by double digits.
By scoring late. A meaningless nothing. Typical of Las Vegas.
It wasn't that, I guess it was kind of late. Chiefs ran it out, but... you know, they still had some hope of getting the ball back.
No, they didn't. Not after they didn't recover. Mathematically,
they had some.
You know, they're the Raiders.
I understand.
But anyway, here we are, KU not getting it done against K-State. Or was it K-State getting it done against KU? Are either of those teams really good?
We knew that game was probably going to... And I didn't pick it.
I want to save that for another second.
I don't know.
I want to get into who are the good teams in the Big 12. It's kind of fun because anybody can beat anybody. But is the Big 12 going to have a
Well, this is what I was talking about.
Snowball's chance? I don't want to talk about it. Don't just let me talk.
Wait,
I don't want any of your resolutions.
I want to talk about this
until,
but then I respond. But I don't want to talk about it. But let me talk.
Well,
about it.
I got a whole segment put away for it. So
is it not this segment?
No, it's not this segment. This is our first and 20 segment.
So what
I named
does that
it
mean?
This because, man, we're not just first and 10. We're looking down the barrel at 1st and 20.
Yeah.
How am I going to lead us to a first down?
You're not. You already got a penalty. That's why we're set back.
That's the premise of this whole segment.
Are you okay today?
You were offsides twice.
Twice on offense.
And now I got to get us to the first down marker. Why do you ask if I'm okay today?
Just a little much to start the show. Kind of ease into it a little bit.
You're never ready for me.
Well, it's not that I'm not
because
ready.
When
it's...
you get here and you come down and you sit down, I'm usually working or I'm doing something and I'm on my computer. By the way, I can't find a file I could have sworn I created this morning. And if I can't find it, that's a lot of work I got to do.
What'd you create it on?
On Word.
I'll just go into Word and...
Well, I've gone into what you think.
I don't see a Word tab up there or
Dude.
Down there on your taskbar.
Right there it is.
Go into.
I'm looking through all my documents.
Go to documents recent in your file folder.
There's no documents recent.
Yeah, there is.
Well, I'll look for it later. I've never heard of documents recent.
Never heard of. And what's the order in there?
Alphabetical.
Hmm.
Or numerical.
Usually if you created a file and didn't save it, it'll automatically kind of save it for you.
To the cloud.
I don't know anything about that.
I got a computer at the office, at the League 42 office, and then I've got this computer. And when I create a file over there and I save it, it's saved to the cloud.
Who showed you how to do that?
Don't worry about it.
I know that wasn't you.
What do you mean?
There's no way that you came up with that on your own.
Well, that's something that's commonplace.
Okay, so who told you that it was commonplace?
Well, I figured it out.
Be honest.
No, I am being honest.
Be real for
you
a
just,
minute.
You just get into the cloud, man.
How do you get into the cloud?
You type cloud and something...
yeah, that's exactly it.
Something comes up and you go for it. I don't know why you have to marginalize me.
I'm not marginalizing you. I just know you.
Well, if I don't know how to do something, I ask.
Right. And you don't know how to...
Do you know how to do it?
I've never had the need to do
it. Would you know how to do it?
I'd probably be able to figure it out.
I doubt it.
There's a simple thing that they have called Google.
I doubt you could do
it. Usually, there are step-by-step instructions on how to do things. Especially remedial things. Am I using the word correctly there?
Well, I don't know how remedial it is. I just know I know it's worked like a charm, but for some reason, the file I could have sworn I saved this morning is evading me at the moment. I'll find it.
I would just go into Word and see if something automatically saved. That's probably your best bet at this point, but we'll see.
Don't worry about it.
Not worried.
Nobody asks you your opinion.
I wasn't giving you an opinion. I was giving you advice.
Here's the thing I've really learned. When you're not asked for your opinion, don't offer it.
Really? That's what you've learned?
Yes.
Well, you do offer your opinion when not asked.
Never.
What's wrong?
What do you mean, what's wrong? Why are you...
You, like, sunk for a second.
Don't worry about what I do.
Then be present.
You're telling me to be present.
Yeah, absolutely.
The guy who's on his phone for 90% of this.
That's not true at all, and you know it. If I'm on my phone, it's because I'm looking something up for you.
I was going to my phone to try to think of something, but now you've got me all flustered.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't know what to do. You were over yesterday to help with some of the kitchen remodeling, with moving boxes
moving
and tubs.
Stuff.
And today... Well, I don't know that it'll ever end, but we're into the lighting.
We're into the final stages.
We're into the lighting. Did you step in to look?
Yeah, it looks nice.
Have you ever seen so many lights?
One of the guys outside kind of stepped to me a little bit.
What do you mean?
He goes, "Who's this?"
What do you mean, "Who's this?"
That's what he said when I walked in the door. "Who's this?"
Well, good for him. I want these guys watching out for me.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I said, "I'm the new owner." Thought he knew who I was, but he didn't. The other guy told him. He's like, "Oh, I didn't know. I thought he was an electrician," which maybe I should be.
You wouldn't know the first thing about what to do as an electrician.
I've never been an apprentice. I've never.
Well, why don't you go into that field? It's a very high-paying field.
I don't think I really want to.
It'd be great.
Oh,
I've gotten to know a few electricians over the past couple.
They're absolutely wonderful people.
We've got the Apple Electrical here doing this job.
I'm sure they're wonderful.
And we've worked with several electricians.
That's how it goes.
You don't really care, do you? You don't give a darn.
Define care that you've worked with several electricians.
Don't you want to know more?
No.
See? That's my point.
I do not.
You don't care.
I don't care that deep into the details, no. I care that you're happy that your kitchen looks nice.
Well, you admit it looks nice.
But I don't care who your electricians
are. You admit it looks nice.
That's where I'll stop short of caring.
We didn't get to get a dining room table. We'll get to that this weekend. No rush.
Is there a dining room? It kind of is all...
It's all one place, but
there's
a place under the fan and the light for the dining table.
All right. Maybe we'll come over and have dinner sometime.
You got to get invited first.
Oh, I'm always invited. This is my home.
I have started to think quite highly of you outside of this show.
Why?
But when you're doing the show, I don't. You irritate the heck out of me.
What? Tell me
Why
more.
Why is that?
Tell me more about thinking highly of
me. It's kind of like my dad, and he always thought pretty highly of me. We spent a lot of time together, but my dad was never much of a talker. So we just kind of spent time together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The one thing we could talk about was Cardinals and baseball. But for the most part, our time together was watching baseball.
Sure.
Or watching basketball or football or listening to one of those sports or watching one on television.
I understand. I get it.
But later on in life, he became my best pal.
Are we best pals?
No.
Okay.
He became my best pal.
Well, you said he was related to that. You said you felt a similar connection to me.
I couldn't go anywhere where he wasn't. It was just kind of an odd thing.
Well, maybe we're...
He'd show up at my house.
Finally, he would?
He'd come to...
You'll never show up at my house.
He'd come to where I work.
To do what?
Just hang out.
Really?
A few times, not every day, but he'd come up and hang out, you know, 20 minutes.
So he was bored after retirement, couldn't find something to do with himself.
I don't know if he was bored. I think he just realized that, you know, he was getting older. His health wasn't maybe as good as he'd like it to be, and he wanted to develop that connection or enunciate that connection. You know what I mean?
You're welcome anytime.
I don't know. I don't know if you're as... I don't know if you're as congenial or warm as I was.
Were you warm?
Sure, to my dad.
But he was a warm guy. You're not a warm guy, so
I was.
I can only play to my audience.
I idolize my dad.
He's a good guy by all indications.
That doesn't mean we always saw eye to eye, or that doesn't mean he was, you know, much of my youth. He was working and away and working multiple jobs and.
Here's a question I've never asked.
The man could do no wrong in my eyes.
What did he think of my mother? Really?
Did you want a serious answer?
Kinda. I've never asked that question. Of you or her.
Well, there's several things that pop into my brain. They liked her. My dad liked your mother. But there were, you know, your mother and I had some issues at one point.
Yeah, I know. That's why you weren't married for very long.
Well, 5 years, close to it.
Were they like staunchly on your side, like you got to get rid of this devil woman?
No, heavens no. No, nobody could think that about your mother. Your mother was a fine person.
Of course.
But they were certainly in my camp.
Well, that's understandable.
As her parents were in her camp.
I'd have to imagine so. Well, maybe.
What do you mean, maybe?
I don't know. Everyone here has had volatile relationships with their parents and their parents with their parents. It's just all a never-ending cycle.
What do you mean it's a never-ending cycle?
How far back can you go? with dysfunction.
I didn't have a volatile relationship with my dad.
No, but you did with your mom, or...
Well, sure.
She was a volatile person.
That's okay.
I don't know much about her parents, do you?
No, I didn't meet the... I met her mother maybe 4 or 5 times in my life and never met her dad, and I don't know that she ever met her dad.
Wild.
So, you know, those are the things we deal with.
It's always, yep.
If we'd have the maturity as a young person that we do as we age, we'd have discovered some of the answers to those forever unknown questions.
Just depends on whether you want to know, really know them.
I never sat down with my mother and said, what about your dad, man? You ever see him? Never asked that question. Curious about it. Never got around to asking.
It might have been a burden to her to have to answer that question. Or it might have.
Is anything a burden to me?
I don't know. Is it?
Ask me a question.
I don't know. I've asked you plenty of questions.
Have I ever acted like it's a burden?
No, but if someone never had a relationship with their own father, and here's this 6-year-old bringing it up.
Well, a 6-year-old's not going to bring it up.
You know what I mean? Anybody.
A 20-year-old might, and I didn't. So I'm left to wonder. Right?
I guess we'll never know. Or is there anyone out there who does know? Who might know?
No, no one's still with us, as far as I know.
Wow. Amazing.
Well, my mother's been gone for... Well,
I know, but she had one other child.
Yeah, I'd have to ask. There might be someone who might know something. But I'll delve into that later.
You don't have to right now.
Well, I'm not going to right now.
I wouldn't right now. Well,
why are you getting so deep into that?
I don't know. I'm just curious.
I don't like it. Lots to talk about today,
it's
including an interview with Wichita Collegiate coach Troy Black. They are in the 3A playoffs, playing really good football right now. I believe they have a rematch with Cheney in the first round.
Is that a first round game? I know that... them and Pratt and somebody else. There's a game, I don't mean to get off that, but did you see 7-1 Lewisburg plays Bishop Miege?
Yeah.
And in the first round.
Well, that's a fault with this system. I also see that, you know, I had this, I think of strange things, man, when I'm sleeping or near sleep. And it bothers me greatly. This playoff system that we have now, many would say it's better than what we used to have. Maybe it is, but where it lacks is that we've got Wichita North. They're not even the 16th seed.
No.
Yet. They're terrible. And they have always been terrible, at least for the last couple of decades for the most part, and they have to go to Manhattan to play Friday night. And what is a trip that I'm not inside the brains of the North coaching staff or their players or their parents, but I can't imagine any of them are saying, oh boy, let's get on that bus and head up to Manhattan.
No, that's not going to be a fun trip.
So my proposal is create some first-round buys in this system so that
we
don't have...
a decent system with district play that weeded out the teams that didn't necessarily belong in the postseason. We didn't have to endure matchups like Derby Campus and North Manhattan.
I'm not even going to mention poor Campus because I'm a Derby guy, you know.
Well, that is the 1-16 game.
It is, and Campus doesn't stand a chance. But they got to go 7 miles. North has to get in a bus and travel to Manhattan.
Yeah, that's bad.
So here's what I thought.
By the way,
North should just play with 12 men on the field at all times. The Kansas State High School Activities Association thinks so little of North and teams like them that they put North and others like them in this horrible spot. So, as a point of objection, and they should play with 12 men on the field, no matter how many times the referee flags them. They should make it Isn't this something?
Think about it. Well, that would be every play.
Yes. So they should do it until the referees stop the game.
Okay. I'm not opposed to it. Why not?
What do you think of that idea?
I'm okay with it.
I can't believe that. I can't believe you're okay with that.
Well, what other solutions?
I'm going to mention it to Troy Black.
Could we possibly have? Collegiate plays Colby.
Oh, Colby.
The winner of that play is likely Cheney.
Okay. Collegiate at home against Colby.
Yes.
So Colby has to make a 17-hour round trip.
But
drive.
At least they're 4-4, not hopeless. I mean, they're not going to beat Collegiate, but.
We'll see. We'll talk with Troy Black next, Wichita Collegiate football coach, all over the place on 1st and 20. That's the beauty.
You
the
never
beauty
know.
Of 1st and 20. First down. Bob and
I
Jeff.
I think so.
We'll be back after this.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Troy Black from Wichita Collegiate. The Spartans are rolling right now. They've won 4 in a row, and they are 7-1 over. Oh, it's 2:45.
Whoops.
That's my bad. I said, you need to be on top of that, Jeff.
I do? How do you figure?
Well, I said that we'd talk to him after the break, but that's my fault.
Yeah, it is.
I'll take full responsibility.
We'll talk to him. It'll just be after the next break.
Well, we'll this talk break. To him when I'm ready to talk to him.
You seemed ready.
I did seem ready. What I was doing now was rehearsing.
Hang on to those questions you had for Troy Black.
I was rehearsing.
Troy's a big Chiefs fan.
Well, there's a lot of those. That doesn't set him apart.
He likes to complain about them on Twitter, but I don't have Twitter anymore, so I don't see his posts.
Why does he complain about them?
I don't know. He's just one of those. He's a coach, right? He's like, we can always get better. We can always improve. This isn't what we're looking for. But they're 7-0 and coming off 2 Super Bowls.
Well, they haven't looked. They've continued to look.
They're 7-0.
Well, I get it, but you've watched them.
They haven't been great, but a win is a win is a win, and they don't have anything to prove to anybody.
No, they don't, but I watch them, and then...
That's basically what they were in the playoffs last year. They hung in, and then they made a play when they really needed to, or something, or the other side made a mistake. That's what the Chiefs have generally...
I don't want to talk Chiefs right now.
Avoided.
I got them slated for another segment.
Well, we can talk anything in any segment.
No, I've got it slated.
Since when have we slated anything on this show?
Today I started the slate. And I want to talk about the Big 12. Right now you have BYU and Iowa State, both undefeated in the conference. BYU ranked 9th, Iowa State 11th. K-State ranked 17th, Colorado ranked 23rd. Those are clearly the superior teams. A couple weeks ago, we weren't sure there were just 4. We thought maybe, what about this Texas Tech club? What about Cincinnati? Is Arizona State kind of doing something? Arizona, Utah, KU, and Oklahoma State have been major disappointments.
We thought they might
be 4.
None of
them are any good.
No, they're all terrible. They're
I don't
not
know
gonna,
the KU's terrible.
They have a terrible record, and if you can't win, again, if you're not winning, you are what your record says, right, Bill Parcells? So they're 2-6 or whatever.
What's this conference all about? What am I to make of it? Is it just 4 good teams and then a major drop off to nothing?
Well, it seems
that's
like
how it looks now.
It seems like
2 weeks ago I was telling people Tim Fitzgerald. I was telling people, and they were telling me, wow, this conference is just top to bottom. It's crazy. It's not. It's 4 teams.
there you go. The cream rises to the top. The good teams separate themselves somehow from the rest of the teams over the course of the season. Now, usually it might be one or two teams, but since this is a 16-team conference with unbalanced schedules and who knows who's playing who each week, then you have four.
Right. That's what I just said without all the words.
I think I made sense of it pretty well.
I lost you. I think you were going in the right direction.
Instead of one or two teams separating themselves, it's four. Does that make sense?
It is four.
Although, has Colorado separated itself? Let's delve into their...
Well, they've only lost to K-State.
Schedule.
And their schedule has not been horribly difficult. They have beaten UCF, Baylor, Arizona, Cincinnati. They've got games remaining with Texas Tech, Utah, Kansas, and Oklahoma State. Pretty much three of the four teams we just talked about and being tremendous underachievers.
And they're going to win all those.
They are going to win all those. Although they got to go to Kansas.
They got to go to Arrowhead. That's not really going to Kansas.
I'm not quite ready to just dismiss KU. They should have won that game the other night.
Well, dismiss
they went
them
to Manhattan and should have won the game. Here's the problem with
them. They should have won three or four games.
Here's the problem with them. You want to know the problem?
Finishing?
Where is Devin Neal to me is one of the best running backs in the country. It's almost like they don't acknowledge him as being that. Meanwhile, on the K-State side, they're giving it to Giddens all the time, and he's killing people. KU has that firepower. Has that same kind of back. But Devin Neal doesn't seem to get the he's carried the ball 130 times in how many games have they played? 8 games.
Yeah, that's 15 a game, maybe.
You want to know how many times Giddens has? Write that down. Gosh darn it.
130. I won't remember.
130 for 758, 5.8 yards per carry, okay? Now, let's compare that to Giddens for Kansas State, who's, in my mind, the same kind of back. They're both excellent. Giddens has, gosh darn it.
He didn't get many carries last week.
What do you mean he didn't get many carries last week?
So his number might be a little
He has skewed. Carried the ball 145 times.
So twice more a game.
Three more times a game for 945.
They've played 8 games. It's two more times a game.
6.5 yards per carry.
What are you trying to illustrate here?
They need to give Neal the ball more. He's their best offensive weapon. They don't have a quarterback who's playing as well as Avery Johnson. And I'm not even saying Avery Johnson's playing as well as I thought he would be playing. I'm just saying that KU's quarterback is not playing that well.
Jalen Daniels, but he's gotten better. He's improved.
He's still not playing. How do you fumble the ball in the situation where he put it on the grass the other day? Late in the game, terrible. And then you get the ball back with a chance. And you can't pick up a blitz? K-State just annihilates you with their blitz. It was aggravating. And I'm not cheering for either team. I don't care. But it drove me nuts.
I can see that.
I'm not going to ask you the $10 million question. I'm not going to ask you that question. Because I know what the answer will be.
What's the question?
You know what the question is.
It's been that kind
of... it'll drive me... to drink if I get the answer I know I would get.
Man, I try. But that was late. I wasn't even awake for that
whole game. It was a 7 o'clock kickoff.
No, I don't think so.
Of course it was.
You sure about that?
And I watched the World Series, but I also flipped back and forth, and I watched the last quarter of the KU-K-State game in full.
Sometimes I want to hang out with my wife.
That's not a good enough answer.
And she's not going to be... present in the moment if I've got a football game on, right?
Present and in the moment.
Not reading
what you can say on a family show describe what present and in the moment
like
mean.
Like sitting with me, kind of talking about what we're watching, not reading, not having an audio book.
About what we're watching?
Yeah.
You actually talk about what you're watching.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am going to hook you up to a lie detector test. That is the most. Look at you smile.
What?
That is the
most.
Doesn't
everybody talk
lie.
About what
you're
they're
watching? You're not a talker. You're not a talker.
I'm not a.
Yesterday,
I'm not like.
I texted, "Are you coming over to help us move?" Well, Shannon's got a. I forgot to tell her. Why didn't you tell her that while you're having these moments?
I just didn't. She was gone Thursday, Friday, and I just forgot.
But Saturday, when you're home and the KUK State's game's on, that's the time to really talk. That's the time
about
to...
About what we're watching.
What were you watching?
Dateline.
Dateline.
Yeah.
Dateline.
We like talking about Dateline.
Over the World Series.
I watched some of the World
Series. And over KUK State.
Again, I don't care about the World Series. I just
And over KUK State.
Yeah, I kind of forgot they were on, but then I started paying attention to it later on.
You liar. There's
no,
another
I did.
One.
I watched a few plays because... Because it comes up on ESPN, the app, you know?
Lie.
You don't even have to start playing it.
Lie.
I'm not lying.
You know I'm right.
No, I'm not. No, you're
I
not.
I raised you.
I didn't watch most of the game. That's correct.
Okay. Phrase that another
what
way.
What am I going to watch
did
tonight?
Did you watch any of the game?
Yeah, a little.
Lie.
Little. A little bit.
That's a lie.
Because it was on the app. It was on the ESPN app when you opened the app. So I watched a little bit of it.
Well, I'll be the standard bearer here on this show that watches KU and K-State.
I know, and I hate when you do that and make me look bad and make other people think.
You probably were dreading. Here's what you should do, as I've told you many times. Go watch the highlights.
I probably should do that.
There's a seven-minute highlight.
I usually like to watch the full highlights, like the 20-minute ones.
Well, watch that. And that's a lie.
No, that's true.
No, I can tell by
I've
the way
you've absolutely done that on multiple occasions.
Lie.
I'm not lying.
I am a human lie detector.
Well, you're wrong on this one.
I am because I can tell.
No, you can't.
Tell me something. I'll tell you whether it's a lie or not.
We got $500 back on our insurance adjustment stuff for our roof.
I believe that.
That's a lie.
It is?
Yeah.
Tell me one more.
Oh man, that's a tough one. Our cat's been...
Lie.
I didn't even finish the sentence.
If you're laughing about it, it's a lie. Our cat's
maybe
been...
it's funny. Maybe
no,
it's
you
something...
said that's a tough one.
Yeah, it's a tough one to think about and remember.
That your cat's doing well? That's tough?
No, it's tough because she wasn't before. Now she is.
Lie.
We got her fixed
Tell
up.
Tell me one more.
I've done seven.
One more.
I'll probably go get a new tattoo this weekend.
Lie.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
See? There's no way you're getting a new tattoo.
No, I don't have enough money.
Right. So just forget about it.
Someday, though.
But KU Pat
what
has
about
to be
him?
Beside himself.
He's probably going to give up his tickets.
Has he said that?
He says it all the time, as Skinner pointed out. But then Pat came back harshly, so I won't submit that into the record. I take that back, Pat.
So what we've had happen in the Big 12 is that we've consolidated 16 teams into four. And those are the only four teams now that are interesting. Which is a shame because I thought we were headed for more than that.
Yeah,
and,
but we're
and
not.
I don't even know.
They're not good enough. These teams aren't good enough to be more than that. They're not the SEC where Georgia can lose to Alabama, but Alabama loses to Vanderbilt who beats somebody, and then Texas plays them tough, and then Texas loses to Georgia.
Here's the problem with it. Sometimes you just start rambling.
No, I'm not rambling. I'm making a point that when there's a two-loss SEC
so
team.
So this week you've got Texas Tech at Iowa State. That doesn't do much for me. K-State at Houston. The other teams, Colorado and BYU, are they have bye weeks. That's what's happening this week. no real interesting game in the Big 12. They're just kind of all dogs. Then on the following week, you have BYU at Utah. We thought, oh, that game, unbelievable game, terrible game.
Here's what we're going to do.
Iowa State at Kansas, Colorado at Texas Tech. Nothing really good there. Then you go out to week 12. And here's what you have on week 12 in the Big 12. I'm trying to find the games that are going to interest people.
There aren't.
You've got Kansas at BYU, Cincinnati at Iowa State, Arizona at Kansas State, Arizona State at Kansas State, Utah at Colorado. Nothing. Nothing
there.
Are
okay.
No, they're not very good.
But since they're all at the
But none of the four are playing each other.
Teams. Right.
And then finally, the week of the final week, November 23rd, still none of the contenders are playing each other. So of the four teams we talked about, none of them play each other.
They could all win out. What we're going to do.
Isn't that boring? The Big 12 has now become boring.
No, it hasn't. What we're going to do, though, is we're going to, at the top of the hour, we're going to make our, we're going to pick our 12-team playoffs right now.
Kansas State does play Iowa State. So we do have that. That's coming up on the 30th of November.
Or at least I'm going to do mine.
We're going to do what?
We're going to make each our 12-team playoffs and see how much.
Well, that's easy. I mean, there's nothing to it.
Are you putting two Big 12 teams in there?
The word some will be in our music this week, our song.
Yeah, sometimes. It's not really the same. But
yeah, that's good. Matt, here's Troy Black from Wichita Collegiate. They are at home against Colby in the first round of playoffs coming up Friday night. Troy, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
So we want to get deep into your team, but I want to quickly talk to you about a scenario that I have in my brain. Because I don't think we've ever settled on a really good playoff system in the state of Kansas, and I don't think this one's very good either. So in 6A, you've got Wichita North, which, bless their hearts, they try to field a team. They just don't have enough kids there who play football. So they continually lose. And they get to go to Manhattan to face a very good team on Friday night. And here's my idea, and you'll probably scoff at this being a strict follower of the rules, but I would tell North to always play with 12 men on the field and until the referees stop the game. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, hey, we got away with it once this year. We had 12 guys on the field, and they didn't call it, so they're not going to call it. Go for it. Do it.
Well, I'm saying every play.
Yeah, hey. They got to do something, you know.
A form of protest is what I'm talking about.
I got to be careful.
All right, let's get.
Yeah, I haven't figured out what's going on either. It's crazy.
Let's talk about your team because you lost a game to Andale on September 27th, 47-6, and I think we all. I'll profess to being guilty. I said, well, Collegiate has their pretty good team, but they're not in the class of probably Andale or Cheney or some of the real powerhouses. Well, you went to Pratt the following week against a really good Pratt team, and you won by 30. You've allowed a total of 19 points in the four games since that loss to Andale. You beat Cheney 31-7. What's going on?
Well, I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, they're playing kind of what we thought they would be doing. Just for some reason against Andale, we just can never put that together. But to their credit, you know, that game did not get them down. And they came back, you know, next week. Like I said, we played, you know, had to play an undefeated Pratt team. And the kids had a great week of practice and just went out and executed. And to be honest, when we execute and do what we're supposed to do, I feel really good about what kind of team we have, and it's when we kind of go off track and you know, don't execute, don't pay attention to the little details that, you know, we're not going to be as good. I mean, we're good, but that's, we have to play really good and do things the right way. And I think they're starting to kind of figure that out, you know, by what we did against that team in Clearwater. And I mean, they've been doing a really good job. So their confidence level is starting to rise up, you know, we still don't have a lot of depth. I mean, that's the other thing against Andale too, is they got so many guys that play, and, you know, I think I counted today, we pretty much play 18 guys. And, you know, but, you know, against Andale, you just can't make mistakes. And we seem to always do something early, and then we're down, and then it just shuts down. But I'm real proud of the guys, how they bounced back and been playing.
Yeah, I'm sure you want a 7-win season to be rewarded on some level. And, you know, Colby, their team, unlike you, that won 4 early and has lost 4 recently, so they're kind of entering stumbling a little bit. But then if you win that, you might play Cheney, and then if you win that, you might play Andale. So I know you're not looking at the 3-game possibility, but I wouldn't imagine that there are many years where it works out that you guys would all meet before the semis.
Oh yeah, I mean, when you started looking at it, and it was confusing because they changed it, you know, kind of mid season how they were going to do the playoffs. And actually, Dylan Schmidt sent me what they configured what was going to happen. And once we saw what could happen, it was like, man, we might end up, at one time it looked like we could play Clearwater. And so then you're playing Clearwater, Cheney, and Andale. That's almost half our regular season to begin with. So, you know, it is what it is. We, you know, eventually you're going to have to play them at some point in time. And you're right. It's just unfortunate that there's not a way to weigh strength of schedule and some of that, and you know, get some of those games later in the year. But, you know, it is what it is. And Colby's, you know, they throw the ball all over. They're a good little football team. It's a tough matchup for us in round one. I mean, I know they got fourth in their district, and I don't know if you looked at that, but I would love for somebody to explain to me how they got fifth in their district, but they're in the playoffs. But that's for another day and another time, I guess. But it's they're a good football team, and then of course you got Cheney, which obviously, you know, they're not going to be like they were when we played them if we get that chance. And so yeah, it's a tough road, and 3A's tough. I mean, there are times where it's like, whew, man, 3A, it's once you make the playoffs, you're going to battle somebody almost every week.
Troy Black, our guest, Wichita Collegiate head football coach, the Spartans at home Friday against Colby. You said it is what it is, and I've been around a long time, and we've been saying that about the playoffs forever. It is what it is. But to have you and Andale and Cheney and Pratt basically in the same bracket, it's so unbalanced. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. Can anybody raise a stink about this, or is it just what it is and we just have to go along with it, and this is the way we operate?
Well, I think people will after they've seen this. I think they'll be, hopefully, you know, look at it and reconsider and try to come up, because there's got to be another way to do it. I know if we raise a stink, nothing's going to happen, but, you know, hopefully some of the other schools will do it. But yeah, it just doesn't make any sense to, you know, I don't know. It didn't even make sense. The manual came out and said one thing, and then halfway through the season, it's something else. And it was confusing all the way till the very end. And so hopefully they'll all sit down after it's over and look at it and, you know, try to come up with a little bit of tweak here and there to where you're not, you know, I mean, not only are all those teams good, but we all just played each other, and then we're all going to play each other again. And, you know, back in the old days, it used to be, well, we're going to match everybody by, you know, region and geographical and all that good stuff. And, you know, that's kind of thrown out the window now. So it's like, okay, well, once we get in there, let's, you know, there's got to be a better way to seed everybody than just how you placed in your district and, you know, yada, yada from there on. So I don't know. I don't have an answer, but I really hope that they sit down and look at it, because it is a shame, because there's a lot of good teams that are going to be done after 1 or 2 weeks and you know, not get a chance to keep playing.
Yeah, so you talked about basically playing 18 guys, and just wanted to kind of understand the method behind that. How do you coach those guys? How do you make sure they're getting enough, you know, instruction on both sides of the ball? And then aside from that, how do you kind of build depth if you need it? If there's an injury, how do you make sure that whoever that next man up might be is ready?
Well, our JV team has been really good. They just went 6-1. Since I've been the head coach, our JV program is 38-5. And so we got our young guys get coached up, and by this time of year, they're actually helping us. They become the scout team, and they're doing, you know, they're doing a phenomenal job. So if we get some guys that go down, we got some dudes to plug in, which is good. And we've had to do that over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, just being a 2A program, we spend half our practice on offense and then turn around and spend half our practice on defense. And, you know, last couple of weeks, we've been running two offenses against a scout D, which was gives us some young guys some work. And so kind of develop that depth that way. Defensively, kind of the same thing. You know, we've kind of put the best offense we can up there. And then we wrote, you know, the guys that we know that can play and are ready to play, even our backups get reps. And so that's kind of how we've had to do it. We be a little deeper in some spots, and we haven't quite developed. But in the last few weeks, some guys have really come on, especially up front on the offensive defensive line. You know, we got a kid named David Chagy, who's a basketball player here, who's 6'7", 250, never played football. And early in the year, he didn't get any playing time, but he's actually given us some good minutes on defense and is doing a really nice job. And we've got a couple other guys that have fallen in that. A kid named Gavin Turo, who didn't even, you know, was a JV guy week one. Now he's a young kid and he's a big kid. But, you know, the other night he started at guard. He's been playing offensive tackle. He's played defensive tackle and is doing a really nice job. So we've had some guys as the season's progressed develop to where we can play them on Friday, and they're doing a good job. They're pushing some guys for time, and they're letting us get some guys off the field because we are playing. You know, most of our guys are playing both ways and don't give them any breaks. Our young guys have done a good job of filling in on special teams, so we've been able to get some of our guys off of there too. But so we've got a little more depth than it seems, but really the core group's 18 guys. And, you know, every Monday we have a JV game, and we got 18 guys that film and 18 guys that walk through on Monday. And so they've done a great job, and the young guys are coming along, and they're doing a good job of helping us out.
Troy Black with us. We'll let you go here in a minute. I'm sure you have to get to practice, but you've developed a really good passing game and a quarterback and a receiver who seem to have developed some chemistry. Tell us about that with Harrison Simon and Sebastian Hines Turner.
You know, that Harry, you know, is a very good athlete. I mean, he's not a natural quarterback, and early he struggled, and then the Pratt game is when it just connected, and man, he blew up in the Pratt game. Then the next week played Clearwater, and he kind of resorted back to the early season, Harry. But then the last couple of weeks, he's back. And I think it's just a matter of time, you know, spending time with him, teaching him how to read coverages and understanding our passing game. You know, he went from receiver, which you would think, hey, that'd be easy. But it's been a little transition for him. And he's the kid's not a big, tall kid, and he can run. So it's just been, I think, just the repetitions and staying with him and him, you know, studying and doing things a little bit better. And then our receiving core, we got four great receivers. You know, Seabass has, you know, had a great game against Cheney. You know, the other night he only had two catches, but Marcus Gorgeous had, you know, seven catches for 100 and some yards. A.J. Batista's had a great game here and there for us. Roman Harani against Cheney had a big game. So we've got four guys that we can get the ball to. It's just a matter, and actually that's really been our, you know, we pass block really well, and we haven't run the ball very well, but that's, you know, Harry coming around in our receiving group and the line blocking for him has really been a blessing, because that's something that we didn't think we were going to be able to do well, and we've done a really good job with it. And I wish we could run it just a little bit better, because, you know, a day like today where the wind's blowing 300 miles an hour in Kansas, you know, at some point in time you're going to have to run the football a little bit. And so that's something we're still working on and hoping we can keep getting better if we get to keep playing.
Troy, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. Good luck against Colby and on into the depths of the 3A playoffs. We'll catch up with you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Troy Black from Wichita Collegiate, our guest. We've got an hour left. We'll be back with that hour after this.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.